So it's nice to get some feedback earlier on about how this practice is working for you or not working for you. And the theme of this time of practice together was and is through settling into our body and breath and ever-changing breath, we find a place of peace and centeredness within. A place of peace and centeredness within from which to open to the truth of our interconnection with all living beings. It's kind of a paradox, isn't it? To find that connection, we go inward. We often think we have to go outward. And we kind of do, but we start by going inward and really making a deep, a full and a clear connection with what is going on here and now with this being. And from there, or from here, the sense of interconnection with others naturally arises. If we use our wisdom and a little curiosity, I think there can be a tendency to either want to sort of shut down here, keep up really strong boundaries because it's all too much, and really strengthen a sense of separate self in order to survive in a complex world, or to step out of oneself, to step out of oneself and be out here with this situation and with that situation. And a giving of oneself, but it's a giving of oneself that's not quite grounded in the direct experience right here in the center of your being. So I think that the Buddha is pointing to this place of deep connection and deep presence with what is going on here and now. And also the truth that all beings wish to have happiness. And the causes of happiness, and all beings wish to be free from suffering, and the causes of suffering. And, from that place, there can be an integration of presence and of including this one, the one that's you, this one, the first person. In this vast world or worlds of beings, so that you're not separate from that. So, of course, we experience ourselves as separate, and in some ways we are. We're physically, once we're born, we are physically separate beings. That's true for most people. And yet, we are very much part of humanity, part of the living world, part of the Dhamma, part of the nature of things. We're not separate from that. So this practice, is I think a few people have had a little sort of aha today of really finding access to that, to that groundedness and presence here in this body, in this mind, that brings a sense of connection to to all beings. So this is pointing to a truth. And it doesn't, our connection to all beings doesn't take away our individuality, our uniqueness. It's an interesting thing that every human being is unique. Each of us. And then we have these ideas, am I okay? Am I right? Should I be different? Because we're not quite like everyone else, but that everybody is not quite like everyone else, actually. It's the beauty of humanity. Probably all species, I don't know actually, but I would guess. But I can say pretty sure human beings are all absolutely unique, and also we have these universal qualities. So each character is individual, and the way each of us arises in the world is very unique and individual. It's a little bit like, I know there's the term snowflakes now, which has a sort of different meaning, but actual snowflakes, you know, that fall from the sky. Everyone is, you know, when you see the snow falling, it just looks kind of the same. It's all white, it's all sort of cold, and but when you look closely, every snowflake is absolutely unique. I remember when I first learned that as a little child, I was like, wow, how is that possible? How can there be that many different ways of being? And it's kind of like that with us too. We're absolutely unique, and we arise in this particular way that is this way. A little bit different, or maybe very different to others. And yet we share this common humanity and this common well, these common vulnerabilities, aging, sickness, dying. We share those, and we share a deep wish. You know, even people who feel that they don't want to be happy, on some level, everybody wishes for happiness and well-being, safety, comfort, and a sense of belonging. So we find, you know, in some ways our tendencies when we don't really settle deeply, our tendencies will be to sort of look outward and try and find what fits and try and maybe make ourselves fit and either be a little bit too cut off from others, a little bit too rejecting of others, or maybe giving ourselves too much, which in some ways is a little bit rejecting of ourselves. So we find this balance where we're not rejecting ourselves, and through not rejecting ourselves, also not wanting ourselves to be perfect and the best, through just the acceptance of this being, this perfectly imperfect being like this. Right now, through this, we much more naturally are able to open to the many different forms that people arise in. And these intentions of kindness for all beings. You know, they're not saying I agree with the way everybody lives their life, or I don't care that, you know, people harm each other or themselves. So it's not saying that, but it's looking at our greater potential. It's kind of looking at the greater potential of all beings and realizing that if we could, we would all be living by our greatest potential, because why wouldn't we? Because it's beautiful. And then we get obscured and confused and seduced into smaller truths, smaller profits and gains than we can really experience. So I hope this day long has given you a little taste of that quality of interconnectedness. And definitely being together with others helps, you know, being in community helps, sharing practice, sharing values, sharing kindness, sharing meals even. We shared a meal here together, which was very lovely. You know, things like this that really helps. To have that sense of kinship and of belonging. Because, you know, basically we do all belong. We all belong here, whether we've been told we do or not. We all belong, because otherwise we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have arisen. We wouldn't still be around. So really grounding in that sense of taking our place, this body, this particular quality, this particular way of being, which is not perfect, far from perfect, but it's like this. And there are things that we can develop and strengthen and improve on and let go of. And there are things that we just take as part of the framework for this lifetime. So just as a body has a particular shape and colour and size, we can't really adjust our height very easily, and skin colour, hair colour, you can dye it, but it keeps growing back with the old hair colour again. And it is kind of what it is in the metabolism. Some of them are fast, some of them are slow, and all those have repercussions. And so we just as a body has a certain shape and form in the world. Also, our character has a certain shape and form in the world, and that's what we live from. That's our instrument. I like to think of them as of our characters as instruments, like musical instruments. And they all play in a different way. A drum sounds different to a flute. And a guitar sounds different to a viola. And then some of us maybe have really unusual instruments. I don't often get to hear music, but I was invited to a Buddhist symphony last year, which was very wonderful. And one of the instruments was a large bowl of water within which there was a sieve. And so at a certain time in the symphony, the percussionist would pick up the sieve and the water would come through and it would make that sound of water. So that was an instrument. So you might be one of those kind of instruments, which just seems a little unusual, but it belongs. It makes that kind of sound. So we've got to make peace with what we have and enjoy it a little bit, this one. And also make room for all of those other instruments, work together as best we can. Not say that all drums are wrong. They're much too loud. They're really intimidating. Get rid of the drums. No, drums belong. Flutes, saxophones. Oh no, not a saxophone. Yeah, saxophones belong. I actually quite like saxophones. So this is we're like this. So accepting ourselves as we are is an important part of the process. And in that, accepting others as they are. And that acceptance is not it's not an agreement with everybody's conduct. And also our own conduct, something we have to work on through our life. And we might know all of the right things, the precepts and the Eightfold Path and what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, but we keep on doing the same old things. Our conduct doesn't change because we can't quite give up a position or a view or a reaction. So we work on our own conduct. Body, speech, and mind. And we encourage others to work on their conduct, body, speech, and mind, having done our work to a large degree first. So this is one of the qualities of the precepts. We keep the precepts. We encourage others to the ethical precepts I'm speaking about that we took at the beginning. We didn't actually take them, but they were there on the list that we didn't quite get there. But the ethical precepts. So we keep them and we speak well of them to others and we encourage others who are keeping them so that we help things to rise up. So I'm going to end there. And I think the recording can end there.